great to see you guys here today. We're going to have a great meeting in the presence of the Lord. We just invite you to worship with us. My name is Paul Rogers. For any of you who don't know who I am, we want to welcome everybody watching online as well. You worship with us where you're at. We're going to have a great time touching what Jesus wants to do in our life. Are you ready to meet with Jesus today? Come on, let's praise Him in this place. Father, we thank You for everything that You've done and everything that You're going to do. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we'll have an amazing time in Your presence. In Jesus' mighty name. Someone shout amen. Hey.
till you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you.
We believe this is true. Come on into the darkness.
Into the darkness you shine.
Out of the ashes we rise.
Out of the ashes.
Come on, do you believe your God is big this morning? If you do, I want you to raise a hand and say, thank you, Lord, all over this place. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we declare. We're saying,
our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Well, our God is healer. He's awesome in power, our God.
Come on, now take a second and tell him how good he is.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you.
Our God, say,
our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any. Awesome in power, our God.
Oh, if we sing that again.
Our God is greater. Our God is strong.
He's higher than any other.
Our God is healer. He's awesome in power, our God.
Come on, church. Let's praise him like we know. Like this.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. The dear Lamb of God, hey. With the dear Lamb of God, left his glory. That's what he did. Yes, he did. To bear it to dark Calvary. Oh, come on, celebrate that. Hey! So I'll cherish the old rugged. Where would we be without the cross today? Hey! Till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Come on, let's lift him up one more time. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling, Lord, I will cling to the old.
Come on, if you're happy for the cross today, I want you to lift your hands up to heaven and begin to say thank you to the Lord. He has done so much for us, and giving him worship is such a small thing we can do, but it carries such a heavy weight. When you worship, he begins to move over your life and over your circumstance. And I'm telling you, you tap into the victorious God when you lift him up over everything. So come on, let's do that. Let's tap into his power today. Hey, hallelujah. We worship a God who's won. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you forever.
You are always fighting for us. Heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple, let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. You have overcome. can never be defeated, for you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah, you're the hope of all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you.
Everything. when he had an encounter with Jesus, it changed his name, it changed his direction, it changed people around him. He began to live victorious, just like we were singing about. So today I've just been praying all week that whoever is in this house will have an encounter with Jesus today. They'll have an encounter. This week, I was picking up laundry, nothing too exciting, listening to the word and listening to preaching. And I was actually in my bathroom picking up laundry because, you know, long week, I just put it there. And the Lord began to speak to me. You know, the Lord can encounter you no matter where you are or what you're going through. And God said to me, begin to dance. And I thought, dear Jesus, do you know like what's going on here? Because I'm not dancing. And the Lord said, put your mind under your spirit's authority. So I began, I'm not going to do it because I did it for him. I'm not doing it for you. I just began to dance. I began to dance. I don't think it was pretty. Don't get me wrong. But I am telling you, there's something about taking the authority in the name of Jesus over everything. Now you say, did you hurt later? None of your business. It doesn't matter. I danced before the Lord. I'm telling you, some of you just have been so focused on with all the stuff in life that you forgot to just do a little bit of worshiping. So today, I want an encounter. There's somebody that came in this place today to touch every person. I mean, everyone, every row, everyone. Today's your day. So you say, this is my first week. What are you talking about? You'll get to meet Jesus today. He's good. But I want 100% from the balcony to the front row to raise your hands and just begin to worship. You're greater than the situations. 100%. Some of you are so cold spiritually. You got to shake a little bit off. You got to dance a little bit off. I'm telling you, he is here. He's here. He's here. Cancer, not bigger than Jesus. Hallelujah. Every muscle can be healed. Anything that you need today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Hallelujah. We're not done. Raise your hands up. We're going to teach you about worship. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, everybody! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He's so good! He's so good! I'm not gonna forget the benefits that my Bible says I have. Amen? Amen? Ken, amen? There's some benefits that are coming. They're here. Amen. I just love him. Tell somebody it's good to be in his house and you can be seated. I've been caught up in my house for 2 stinking weeks, so you got to give me a little break. It's so good to have you here. It's so good to be in God's house. I love church. I love it. I love it. I love coming together and meeting Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, I just want to welcome all the visitors, all the guests today. We're so glad you're here. Charleston Church, will you welcome all of our friends today? We're so glad you're here. And I'm sorry. I put that down and I shouldn't have. If you're visiting, we want you to take a connection card right in the seat in front of you. Take it out, fill it out. Put it in the offering. This is a great church, and everybody needs a church. Amen? Amen. And if you've been here for a while and you just want to get connected, you want to get involved. How many know being involved in something is good? Right? It becomes not just the church you go to, it becomes a part of what you do in your church. So if you'd like to get involved, we want you to take the next steps card, fill that out, put it in the offering, and Pastor Vinny will get a hold of you. And it is good to be involved in such a great church. Amen? Amen. As the ushers come on down, we have a few things going on. How many are glad Charleston Church has always got stuff going? Yes, you are glad, because it would be very boring if not. We have First Wednesday, will be on May 2nd. If you have not been to a First Wednesday, they are so good. I heard one of the greatest messages last service for First Wednesday. Changed my whole perspective of Samson. So you need to come. It's an hour service. We worship, and he preaches, and we enjoy it. Amen? You better say yes. He's your pastor. Come on now. And we have Better Together on May 6th. And it's going to be a good service, because how many know that God created marriage? And it's good. Yes? How many know God created marriage and it's good? Yes, yes, yes. We're going to receive the offering. Once you've encountered Jesus as Paul did, you don't have any issue giving what his word says, because that's what his word says. So I'm just so thankful for this church and your faithfulness in giving. And we're just blessed because of your faithfulness to God and what he wants to do in this area. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you have for us in this service. We thank you, Lord, what we're going to be able to do this week for you, for your kingdom. We're so blessed to be able to build your kingdom. God, we just thank you, God, for who you are and what you're going to do. I pray that you bless every person today. I pray you bless their finances, their needs, their bodies. I pray healings, that we hear great reports of healings this week, that we hear great reports of somebody getting a job that they needed. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're such a good God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. Praise God. Want a hand? Good job. Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day. If you're not aware of it, somebody opened the windows. We've come a long way, baby. Beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And obedient believers say, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Always try to come up, look the crowd over. See the hot spots for God's blessings to fall down. So glad that you're here, and it's magnificent what God is doing. And we're a part of something that only God could accomplish, and that's the building of his church. And he's building his church all over the world, but there are no places on the planet that he is tired or sick of. Everywhere there are people that have faith, God wants to move, and he wants to do something special. And we'll not treat today as if it's different. I have an expectation that God has something in mind for every individual in the building today. I have an expectation that God's got something in mind for everybody that's watching online today, and that God would speak to you and encourage you. You do understand that you can be in a crowd of any size, but God can speak to you as an individual. Often, God will speak to an entire crowd, which I believe he wants to today, but he always has something to speak to you because you're his children. We do not have a mute father. Some of you, and probably most of you, how many of you grew up with a dad that was not real talkative or chatty? How many of you grew up with a dad that wasn't real chatty? Yeah. Yeah, that's But our Father in heaven, he likes to talk when his people like to hear. And we thank God for that. I'm just buying time. Just relax. You're like, you're not used to not having nonstop action all the time. You're like, you're ready for NASCAR. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm just like, I'm just like golf. So I need to purposely just come up here and stand in front of you for a while to make you slow down. All right. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. We try to have the service. We understand people's got an attention span, but how many know sometimes you got to stop for a minute and say, all right, now I'm ready to hear from God. So I'm going to wait until you're ready. Painful, isn't it? The Lord says, chill thyself out. He's got something he wants to say, and he wants to say it once. And I know if the Lord wants to say it four or five times, because I can do that too. So, how many of you just sense the presence of the Lord with you every single day of this week? How many of you sense the presence of the Lord this week? Presence of the Lord. Just walking with you, helping you, instructing you, guiding you, helping you. I know you think I got something up my sleeve. I got nothing up my sleeve. I'm just letting you sit down in the presence of God for a minute. Because about an hour, we're all going to get up and go get something to eat, which is God's will. But I just want God to talk to you. I want God to help you today. I want His holy presence to become so ingrained into who you are. I have no videos for you today, no special announcements today. I don't think it's God's will that any of that happen. I think today God just wants you to be in His presence and be changed by His presence. Amen? Amen? The presence of God. You know, you can come in one way and you can leave another if you want. And I mean better. I mean better. That God would help you. See, God's a master builder. He doesn't do anything randomly. He doesn't do things because it's just because He needs something to do. But He's a God that's intricately and decisively doing something. And if you would allow, God's got one more piece to the puzzle to put in your life today. A piece to the puzzle. And what the Lord wants me to minister before, I've never preached this before. I've never ministered this way before. But the part and the beauty of being in one church consistently is that you're to get the whole counsel of the Word of God. Right? If you do church a la carte, then you just get a little bit of every place that you go to. But after a while, you got to have vegetables. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying today's vegetables. I think today's, I don't know what it is today, because I've never preached it before. But I believe that there's a piece to the puzzle. And how many want God to complete the picture? I want God to finish the picture. I think a lot of people are just, they come to God in a massive crisis, and then God just kind of pulls them out of the ocean. And then they're satisfied to be alive. But I believe there's hundreds of people here in Charleston that says, I'm not satisfied with being alive. I want to have and experience everything that God has, every piece of the puzzle that sin took. I want Jesus Christ to make the devil put it back in Jesus' name. Every piece. Somebody say that with me. Every piece. There are those who will just preach one thing and they'll only give you one piece of the puzzle. But Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. He didn't say, I've come to rescue you. He said, I've come to restore you in Jesus' name. And I've got some room, and we've got some room for God to do some restoring business today, right? All right, look. Now, doesn't it feel better? Some of you, like, your eyes are blinking. I'm looking right at you. Do something quick. Quick commercial break. We're putting on the brakes. We're pumping the brakes. God is in control. God is good, and He still responds to faith. I'm going to say that to you one more time. God is in control. Say that with me. God is in control. God is still good, and He responds to faith. You can cry all night and not get God to do anything. Because God knows you can cry tonight and not feel it tomorrow. Because sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. And God's not moody. But you can have faith when you feel it. You can have faith when you don't feel it. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, let's give God a good hand clap of praise and thank God. Glory to God. Let's stand together in His presence. Hallelujah. Oh, how He loves you and me. Thank God. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. It's a little high, but I don't sing good in any key, so we'll just stick with this one, all right? Come on, begin to praise Him, sing. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Jesus gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you. Do you know that God loves you today? Come on, do you know that God loves you today? You couldn't. Some of you, I know you get it, but some of you don't, because you would respond if you knew how much He loved you. You would respond. If I said to my wife, I loved you, and she went, like a few here, I wouldn't think she believed me. But if I said, I love you, and she reached right out and grabbed me by the ears and kissed me right on the lips, I'd say, she got it right there. I'm not saying you're going to kiss God, but I'm just saying, if you know that God loves you, come on, begin to sing it like you believe it today. I know you may not have had the best week, but He loves you today, and He loves you tomorrow. Come on, let's sing it and praise Him. Let's sing it. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Thank you, Lord. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Now, there's a second part to that song. There's a second part to that song that He says God not only loves you, but you know what? He loves your neighbor too. Praise God. Come on now. Aren't you glad He's not selective, that He only loves the people in the four walls of this church? He loves the people that live around this town. He loves the people that live in this state. He loves your family. He loves your children. The most amazing thing is this. Are you ready? He even loves your siblings. Oh, He's a big God. How many of you got some siblings that need the love of God today? Come on, let's sing that again one more time and thank God for His love for us and His love for our family. Sing it now. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Thank God for this love, for He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how God loves you. Oh, how Jesus loves me. Oh, how He loves you. Grab your Bibles if you would, and as you're getting your Bibles and open them to the book of Mark, I want to pray for a couple folks. I just got a note here. Thank you for sharing this with me, Pam. Ryan and Haley Keyser, I don't know if you folks know them, they've been coming here for months now, And Ryan and Haley and her boys were on their way to church, and their car was rear-ended on the way here. And said there's some kind of whiplash, I guess. So we want to pray that God will touch Ryan and Haley. Just a wonderful little family. We thank God that they're a part of us and a part of our family. We want to pray God will, how many believe that God will just touch those little, that whole family right there and let them be well? And we're praying for Sky Burrell. People have been praying for him. They did diagnose him with a form of cancer that's in his body. They don't feel like it's spread, but nobody wants to hear that there's cancer there. So they've got to do surgery, and we're going to pray that. We know God is bigger than that. Amen, Sky, Jackie? God is bigger than this. God is bigger than this. You can make what you're going through bigger than God by what you look at. Or you can say, God is bigger than this. Paul Shaw's brother passed away down in Texas, just a young man. We want to pray for their family. And how many of you got some needs here today that God can meet? I'm praying for Bud Drew, that God will continue to give him complete recovery, get back at that pantry, and keep reaching the towns that we are privileged to serve. So Heavenly Father, all of these needs we give to you today. By your power and by your word, God, you demonstrate your ability to do absolutely anything. And in the name of Jesus, I pray for restoration and peace for the Keyser family. I pray and thank you today that you've already taken care of what needs to be done to heal bodies of cancer. And by your stripes, we believe Skyborough is healed in Jesus' name. We pray for this family that's lost a dad and a young man. Pray that you'll bring comfort like only many of us have experienced you to do it. Bring in comfort like only you can do. Touch Bud today. Give him 100% recovery. And we pray that your word will produce a great harvest in our lives today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 Praise God. That was the longest 10 minutes of some of your lives. It's good though. How many know it's good for you to just slow down a little bit? I dare you to do something this week. I dare you to take your phone and put it somewhere and not look at it for 6 hours. Great peace will come to you. In Jesus' name. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Sometimes you just got to do what everybody else, you got to not do what everybody else is doing to get what not everybody else is getting. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to speak up. One of his disciples, we've given up, he's referring to himself and the disciples. Or he just automatically thinks he speaks for everybody all the time. I don't know if you've ever met somebody like that. Peter says, we've given up everything to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus said in verse 29, yes. And I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, property, along with persecution in the world. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. Jesus, please, let us hear you speak to us today. We position ourselves. We're ready to see you do something in your name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Last week, I made an attempt, at least, to speak on this topic. And I talked about the home court advantage, that God built family and that God intended for family to be that place of refuge, of encouragement. And that no matter what's going on outside in the world, you've got a place of refuge, a place that you feel you've got an advantage. So last Sunday, the Celtics started the NBA playoffs, game one, game two at home. They won both of them. And then I think it was Friday night, they went to Milwaukee to play, and they lost. They won on their home court, but they lost at the opposition or at the opposing team. You know, God built the home to be the advantage for us long before us, way back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And we talked about last week how the man, husband or dad, has responsibilities and the mom, wife, or lady has responsibilities. Now this is not a message that puts anybody outside the parameters. If you're a single parent, look, there are plenty of Bible examples that you can very successfully raise a great family. If you have a blended family, the Bible is full of biblical examples of blended families that were victorious. But the Bible's also full of people and families that should have been able to do it right and they didn't. Because we talked about last week, there's a difference between growing a family and raising a family. Right? You can grow weeds all over your lawn, but how many know you got to work to grow, to raise a garden? And so Adam and Eve, and if we look at Adam and Eve, we understand that Adam did a good job for the most part. Adam did a good job. He was doing two of his three responsibilities. He was naming the animals. That means that he was doing good at his work. He did good walking with God. We know that he had a consistent daily time with God. But there's one thing that he did not do. He got distracted. And the people often will demean Eve by saying, well, she was the weaker one. That's why Satan tempted her. But the reality was, she should never have had to deal with him. If Adam would have been doing his job of guarding his family, she'd have never had to talk. He'd have taken out the axe and cut that serpent's head off. But because Adam, it's not that Adam didn't care, it's just that Adam got lost focus. So you can be doing great at work and you can be doing great going to church, but if men, fathers, husbands, if you're not careful that when you get home and say, you know what, some of this stuff doesn't come in our house, then you can't expect to have the advantage. And so it's not that Eve was weaker, it's just that Eve was doing her job. Adam wasn't. And then when the serpent got to Eve, he used something of Eve that she had that God had given to her, and the ability to influence. She adapts, she nurtures, and she influences. So she used her influence on Adam. And how many know a woman is much stronger than a man? If you don't know it, you don't know one. And she used her power of influence wrongly. And Adam ignored and got distracted, and dysfunction came into the home. When dysfunction came into the home, they were removed from the garden, the presence of God, and their two boys, Cain and Abel, now are raised in a home that's not built the way God wanted it. Because mom and dad didn't stay with the role that it takes to build a successful family. So, Cain and Abel go to church. Now, when Abel goes to church, he knows he's got to bring an offering. Well, Abel is a herdsman. So he takes the firstborn of his flock, he's prepared it, he's taken time, he's nurtured it, he's protected it, he's set it aside, and when it comes time for worship, he takes his offering, the first fruit, and he lays that before God. When Cain goes to church, he's in a hurry, unprepared, and he just grabs a handful of grain, goes to church, and throws it on the altar, says, good enough. I get an attendance pin. Good enough. At least I'm here. What else can you expect from me? And the Bible says that God responded to the offering of Abel, but he did not respond to the offering of Cain. That goes to tell me that two people can go to the same service. One can go out empty and one can go out full. How many say, I'm going out full today? God will respond to what and how you give. And when they leave there, Cain is so jealous of his brother that he finds him in a field. And after a good service, Cain kills his brother. God finds Cain. He says, Cain, where's your brother? And Cain says these words, am I my brother's keeper? I mean, if my mother was God, she'd say, now don't you be doing any sassing to me again. I was a big sasser when I was a little kid, man. I think it was preparing me for preaching. I could sass with the best of them. I could sass, and did she hate sassing. And God reprimands Cain's cold, casual, flippant attitude towards his brother. And God says, oh, but indeed, you are your brother's keeper. This has nothing to do with faith. This has nothing to do with church. This has nothing to do with going to heaven. This is just minimum requirement that God expects from everybody on the planet. God indeed has made every one of us our brother's keeper. Cain literally was prophesying what God wanted us to hear today. That we all have a responsibility to care for everybody, but specifically for our siblings. I've never preached a message on siblings before. But it was at that moment that we get this invasion into the family of the planet called sibling rivalry. Cain versus Abel. Good versus evil. Nancy Kerrigan versus Tonya Harding. Godzilla versus King Kong. Applesoft versus Microsoft. Applesoft. Applesauce. Yeah. Applesauce against Microsoft. Coke versus Pepsi. Coke is best. USA versus Russia, the Roadrunner versus Wile E. Coyote, Bill Russell against Walt Chamberlain, Crips versus the Blood, Red Sox versus the Yankees, and the Steelers against nobody. I heard a guy say it takes two to maintain the fires of rivalry. And I would suggest today that we as believers in Christ have a minimum requirement to pick up the white flag and wave it and say we will not tolerate the world's casual ability to fan the flames of sibling rivalry in the name of Jesus. Let us destroy every rival among us. Not only does that sibling rivalry start after a home that was designed by people who stepped out of their roles, it travels through thousands of years to the very guys that Jesus called his disciples. You got to realize, and I told you last week, that these guys, most of them were teenagers, were walked away from their family, walked away from their business, walked away from their inheritance, walked away from their education. Left all of that behind to do God's will. Can you imagine what their mothers must have written to them? Jesus isn't your daddy. Jesus didn't feed you as a kid. He didn't bring you into this earth. You realize these guys missed all their holidays. Look, as Americans, what do we get, 4 or 5? The Jewish people, they get tons of them. And these boys missed every Jewish holiday for 3 years. I mean, these boys paid a price. These boys really sacrificed to follow Jesus. And that's why they constantly are reminding Jesus, do you remember what we've done? They continually say to him, you're not going to leave us. You're not going to abandon us, are you? Look at some of the scriptures. Because out of this, I know we want to, they're not perfect. John 14, verse 6. Let me just take some scripture time here, if you don't mind. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus says, no one can come to the Father except through me. Why? Because the disciples kept asking, show us the Father. I want you to see a thread. If you can make yourself stop for a minute and just focus. John 14, 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Why? Because Philip walked away from his dad to do the will of God. Jesus said, look, verse 18, John 14, verse 18. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Ooh. So recognize these boys have left everything and their inheritance to follow Jesus. They're constantly saying, you know, we don't have mom and dad anymore. And they're constantly saying to him, and are you going to leave us too? And Jesus could have called them a lot of things, but I need you to hear this. Jesus called his own followers orphans. Were they orphans? We don't read that they were. We read several of them left their father's business when they went to follow Jesus. So why would Jesus call people who had parents orphans? Because just because you have parents doesn't mean that you've been parented. You may have been grown, but you may not have been raised. But it's not only that. Some of you were raised in great homes. But you need to understand that inside of mankind, there is this insecurity. And that God can look at us, and though we may not in the natural be orphans, we can take on an orphan mentality. Help me, Lord. There are people here, great mom, great dad. I mean, the Waltons would have been a step down from the great family you were raised in. But Jesus is saying that amongst his people, there are those that carry the same mentality that an orphan carries. Lack of identity, trying to set themselves up to feel important. It's the sibling rivalry. 11 times I've read in the scripture that you see the writers record that the disciples were arguing with each other. I mean, if it was not, they must have looked around before they started fighting and said, does anybody have their cell phone out? Because we don't want this recorded. Nobody can bicker like church people. And they start bickering. You have to wonder at times, did these guys not realize that they're like the disciples? Dude, have you forgotten? Like, we're going to make big buildings and name them after you. But the writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all write down and they record all of the sibling arguments, the bickering that took place amongst the followers of Jesus Christ. For certain, they had an orphan mentality. Are you ready? Hang in there. Mark chapter 9, verse 34. I don't know if I've got that up there, but it says, "But they kept silent, for on the road they disputed amongst themselves who would be the greatest." Right? They disputed. They disputed who would be the greatest. They disputed who would be the soloist. You know you're here, you might as well enjoy it. And it's all I got to preach, so I'm just going to give it everything I got. But Luke 9:46 says, "Then his disciples began arguing about which of whom was the greatest." Wow. You know, I've been here longer than he has. Thank you, Wayne. Try to keep it light in here if you can. Luke writes down all these things, and I can almost Dr. Luke. I mean, this guy's intelligent. I can almost imagine as Dr. Luke is writing all these things, he's got to be rolling his eyes like, "Here we go again." How many parents have ever done that? You hear the kids bicker and you go, "Here we go again." I heard about three guys that were in the... A lady came out and said, "Sir, you're going to give birth. Your wife just had twins." "Awesome." He says, "I play for the twins." Went to the next man and said, "Sir, your wife just had triplets." "I work for the 3M factory." Another dude got up and ran out. As he was running, they could hear him saying, "I work for 7-Up. He couldn't take it. Luke 22, verse 24. "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be the greatest." Disciples, followers of Jesus. And Luke says, "You think nobody knows, but I'm writing this stuff down." Matthew 18, 1. "About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" Okay, they're not going to compare it to each other. Now they're asking Jesus, "You tell us, Pastor. Don't you think I should be the head one?" Matthew 20, verse 20. Here we go. "Then the mother..." The mother. I could just see her. "Smother has come along. Then the smother of James and John." I mean, she would have fit right in with these helicopter parents today. Oh. Okay, I could get way off. You know, you saw it last week. I'll try not to today. But how many know we got some serious helicopter parents? I'm going to say something really death-defying. When I was a kid, we had recess for 30 minutes, and we played in the woods. All those ticks and bugs, I don't know how we survived it. And we broke off tree branches, and we shot each other. You know it's dumb, don't you? How many of you know it's stupid? How many know we have become comfortably numb? So the smother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who doesn't happen to be here, came to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" Jesus asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in the places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." Can you believe this? Even Jesus had to step back and say, I got to be careful with this one. Because smother is here. They've seen blood dry up. They've seen Jesus walk on the water. The dead have been raised. And the only thing they have time to talk about is who's going to be the greatest. All they can talk about is how they've been slighted. All they can talk about is, "I paid a price, I should get this, I'm owed." Come on. Where did it come from? How did they find time to bicker about such fleshly things? Smother. There's a woman to blame. Don't get upset at me now. Because if Dad would have been there, Dad would have made those boys know, whether he makes you at the right or the left, whether you get the highest grade in the class, whether or not you're recognized, whether or not you're in the starting lineup, it doesn't matter. I already told you who you are. I already told you what you're born in this earth for. And you don't need somebody else to tell you if you're good. But Mama doesn't do that. Because Zebedee has not stepped up as the man and said, look, this is what our family does. And so what's left is when nobody's in control, then you let the mom get in control. And I'm going to tell you, she will manipulate siblings. Oh, no. Don't you think that James and John were not a little bit embarrassed? Now they're not. How many 18-year-old boys would like to have their moms show up at the principal's office? You know. I don't know how women stand. It's the best I got, men. That head whopping around. Can you imagine the boys? They'd be like, oh, geez, get us out of here. How embarrassing. But she's manipulating those boys, and she's stepping in at the absence of the dad, and the dad is like, either he's like, she's out of control, or, I've done my, or he's just distracted. Y'all okay? We find that the root of the fruit of that orphan mindset is a comparative spirit. It's a comparative spirit. It is constantly, because we don't feel good about ourselves, because we're raised by humans, but because we don't feel good about ourselves and we compare what we have with everybody else, because we don't know who we are, we have to try to get positions and get recognition. My son's got this video game. I love it. It's called The Need for Speed. I think that people are playing the game The Need to Be Seen. And it doesn't just happen in the world. It happens in the church. And if I come to church and I come 3 weeks and I don't get recognized and I don't get a position, I'll go somewhere else. And if somebody doesn't say hi to me, then I'm going to stay home for 2 weeks and make somebody make a phone call and talk me into coming back. Yeah, I didn't even warn you. It's getting ugly here for a minute. This is grown folk talk today. This is grown folk talk. At some point, we've got to stop playing games and we've got to step up and say, you know what? This is what I'm going through. And I realize that I don't have to be seen to be valuable. What I need to know is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, was brutally beaten, not so that I could walk around trying to get your approval. He came to give me heaven's approval. And if the Father is all right with me, if nobody knows me, if nobody thanks me, if nobody recognizes me, it doesn't matter, because the Father who sees me do things in secret will publicly reward me. When you get to that place, you'll thrive. But as long as you compare your kids with their kids, as long as you say, well, and don't take the bumper sticker off, but how many of you at times see somebody, my kids are on the honor roll, want to just rear-end them? Take out your keys, walk through the church parking lot. I hope they go to tech school, because somebody's going to need to paint that mess. Way too much fun. And I'm glad that your kids are on a roll. My kids are brilliant. They're like their mother. That's brilliant. And put the stickers on. Make your kids know you're proud of them. But don't do it so that they finally feel secure. Do it because it's their doing what you already knew who they were. Because sometime in life, they may not be the top of the line. Oh, Lord, help me. You have no idea how much stuff I don't say. And every now and then, I wish I hadn't said it. I'll just leave it alone. How many, no, stop it, you're all carnal. You are all carnal. I rebuke thee in Jesus' name. This is an open rebuke. I think there's something going on in our culture that see, whew, I got through it. Thank God. You all be judged, not me. I think that we've got to get to the place where we start telling not just our kids, but our siblings. And we tell people that come to Christ, look, if you don't have Christ, you become a man pleaser. And when you become a man pleaser, you're going to ride the waves of people's emotions. You're going to ride the waves of amens and claps and pats on the back and public recognition and bonuses and trips and watches and early retirement. I'm going to tell you, work hard, let God give you all of it. I'm not against any of it. I hope that you get every bit of it. But I'm just telling you, whether everybody knows it or not, you are a child of the King. You've been bought by precious blood. And whether you make more money than your family members, whether your sibling drives greater cars than you, wears better clothes than you, you're not identified by what you wear, what you drive, where you live, or what you own. You're identified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are a child of the King. Now act like it. Act like it. Don't hold your head down in front of anybody. I don't care if your sibling is a millionaire. Pick your head up. You're better than a millionaire. You're an heir to the kingdom of God. Pick your head up and understand, you have another elder brother. His name is Jesus. We're not joint heirs with Christ, we're joint heirs with Christ. And if you have a setback, just understand, the same God who was with you at the top will help you get back. Thank you, Jesus. Can I turn it around a little bit? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for helping me not to say what I was going to say. Let me end it right here. This is it. Sibling rivalry versus sibling unity. This is what Jesus does in a person's life. Now understand, there's a spiritual principle about our natural bloodline. Please, somebody hear what I'm going to say. Now the onus is going to be put on you. Because this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to split sibling from sibling. I read it in Mark chapter 10. Jesus said, when you follow Christ, you may have to walk away from a sibling, brothers and sisters. But if you follow me, I will restore you 100-fold back to your brothers and sisters. And it's not hard for some people to walk away from their brothers and sisters, but they don't let the work of Christ be completed in their lives, and they don't realize that God not only wants to take you away from the sin, but God wants to restore you so that you can go back to them and give brotherly and sisterly love. Oh, yes, amen now. Thank you, both of you. Oh, come on. Let's see how spiritual we are now. Oh, I know you like your favorite types of music and you like your favorite type of doctrine, but how do you treat your natural brother and sister? I'm afraid, Hebrews 13, verse 1. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. You see, there is a spiritual component to sibling unity. Sibling rivalry will destroy. Let me just say, let's share this with you. I found this profound. Patricia East from the University of California did a study and said a girl with an older pregnant teenage sister is 4 to 6 times likely to become a teen mom herself. The Journal of Drug Issues in 2006 said younger siblings whose older siblings drink are twice as likely to pick up the habit. It said those, when it comes to smoking, the risk is increased fourfold. And so I think the natural science is starting to prove the spiritual principle is to show this, that there is a spiritual component between parents and children, but there's also a spiritual component that must be taken care of between siblings. And if you want all the puzzles in your life put back together and you want the full blessing of God, you're not only going to need to reconcile with your parents, you've got to reconcile with your brother. You've got to reconcile with your sister. And if we as Christians cannot reconcile even with non-Christian siblings, we are no different than the non-Christians. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Watch this. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. This is powerful. Okay, I know that's a sensitive issue, but I'm going to say one more thing about it, then I'm going to move on. But I think that we have to be awfully careful, because oftentimes people are far more merciful to people they don't know than to people they're related to. Come on, you signed up to be a Christian. Nobody forced this on you. And I wonder at times when people come into this church and they're terribly, terribly broken and their lives have fallen apart, when they walk in here, they find such love and mercy and acceptance and restoration. And to you, I'm so grateful that that's not my doing, that's our doing. But I wonder, why didn't the people that knew them when they fell give them that same mercy? Or if somebody falls here and they get into trouble and they go to another church that nobody knows them and they get mercy there, why didn't we give them mercy? Is it easier to give mercy to people you've never met than to give it to the people that you owe it to? Oh, it's getting tight in here. It's getting tight in here. And I'm telling you, next week it may not get any better. So I'm just telling you, it's not like a once in a occurrence. I mean, come on, how many want to be the real deal? I think that it is so easy to become critical. So we've got to move from sibling rivalry, move over to sibling unity. Because the Bible says, watch this, Hebrews 13:1. I said, love each other like brothers and sisters. And then what happens? When you do, when you get into sibling unity, guess what happens? You start getting supernatural involvement. Can you go back to that verse? I went over it too quick. Thank you. I think it's Henry back there. Keep on loving each other like brothers and sisters. Verse 2. And don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for those who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Look at me. When you start loving your siblings and your spiritual brothers and sisters with the kind of love that God demands, guess what? He says, I'll start sending angels to work on your behalf. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm just going to shout and praise God. You've got to have a manly pulpit around here. I ain't putting up with no sissy pulpits on this platform. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, oh, it's so painful. You don't know what they did. You don't know how they robbed me. They don't know how they stabbed me in the back. You don't know how they hurt me or hurt my children. I understand that. I'm not saying have them to your house. I'm not saying send your kids to their house if they're not safe. I'm just saying if you will forgive, if you will love, God says, I'll send angels into your home on your behalf, because you know my kind of love is a love that is unrelenting. We're going to have to get some glass bottles up here pretty soon. I'm feeling powerful about this right now. Hallelujah. If you shake my hand after service, you might want to shake my left one, because I'm feeling real strong right now about this. I'm telling you today, the devil's had a plan to separate you from your siblings and make you angry and hurt you. And it was the devil's doing from the beginning. But if you will make the devil pay for sibling rivalry and give love, unconditional, unending, overrated, I mean, over the top kind of love, I'm telling you, God will say, I'll respond, because that's my kind of love. That's my kind of forgiveness. That's my kind of grace. And God says to angels, go ahead and help them. Protect them in the vehicle. Protect them on the road. Bless them in ways that nobody else could have. And they'll realize it's love for one another that identifies us as followers of Christ. Thank you. A manly amen, finally. My brother was seven years, I still have a brother, he's in heaven today. 7 years younger than me. So when two boys are 7 years apart, that's a huge difference when we're younger. And poor Joey, a cute little kid, a blonde afro, a white kid with a blonde afro. Looked like Tim Kennedy. I saw Tim today. And as a little boy, I love sports. And I would try to talk Joey into playing sports with me, but he could never. I was 7 years older. So like I'm 12 and he's 5. And I'm wanting him to throw the ball and hit the ball and run the ball like I do. He couldn't do it. He'd be mad and I'd be mad. And I like cars and sports, and he was more into music, games. And so our lives just naturally we're distant. We weren't real close. We're not real close. And then, and as you know, I spent some time not serving the Lord. He spent some time not serving the Lord. I come out of it. And I served God. I wish I'd have never done it. The dumbest season of my life. But thank God I came back. My brother came back. But drug addiction just kept becoming a recurring problem in his life. And in 2012, and through those years, it was not easy. You got to think about, I'm not going to tell your story. All I know is mine right now. Through those years, I'm like this pastor, and he's this struggling drug addict, struggling with an addiction. He wasn't an addict. He had an addiction, and he's struggling with it. So that couldn't have helped him any. That's my brother on TV, and he's selling drugs to the guys on the street. I look back, I think that must not have been an encouragement for him. And so, how many know you look at your siblings different than anybody else does? So, it was in 2012 in November that a state trooper came to our house on a Sunday morning. Many of you were here, and he says, your brother has passed away with a drug overdose. And so, well, that wasn't fun, especially for my dad. But I mean, I've lost a mother, but I tell you, losing a sibling is different than losing a parent. But I want to show you something here. It never dawned on me. I told my wife, it never dawned on me. I love it when I got something to share with you and it helps me. When my brother was going to Teen Challenge, every time he'd come home, he'd go back and see Kelsey Waite, and he would gather up bagfuls of my sermon tapes because people ordered them and they never picked them up. I mean, piles of Matt Ward's preaching that nobody wanted. I won't tell you what church it was at. And he took bagfuls of my preaching, and he took it to Teen Challenge. And my brother's a pastor, he'd say. And he'd give out my preaching tapes to all of his buddies at Teen Challenge, all the drug addicts. And they would listen to my messages. And these guys were eating it up. I still have guys come to me from Teen Challenge and say, hey, are you Joe Ward's brother? Yeah, that's how I want to be known. He said, your brother gave me sermons on tapes over and over. Willie, I'm sure you heard. Willie's guy. Hey, buddy, right? Willie's right there. He's one of those guys. Willie heard me preach long before he ever met me. And what God was sharing with me got to a whole group of people all over New England that I would never have met. What I'm saying is, because my brother and I loved each other, he helped me minister to people I could not reach. Watch this. And then a few years later, my brother passes away. I'm not saying that God had anything to do with it. I'm not saying that God... You know, I think you better be careful when there's a tragedy and you say, well, God did that. No. So God did not do that. For whatever reason, he got in trouble and he died that night. But for years, he always wanted to reach people with drug addiction. And he could never get himself up there. So he passed away in 2012. But because of his brother, now we have a ministry called Joe's House, and you, we have a ministry called Joe's House, where men are getting out of drug addiction, getting out of drug rehabs, getting out of prison, and they're having a place to go, and they get their lives put. It's the exact thing he needed. It's the exact thing he wanted, though he didn't get to do it. Guess what? It's happening through his brother. What I'm saying is that the enemy has a plan to get sibling rivalry because he knows that God loves to flow through that home court advantage. But the moment that you can lay down the axe, the moment you can pick up the white flag, is the moment that God says, I love it when brethren dwell in unity. I'm telling you, you can get so much on your own, but there's a level of something you can't get until you get in one accord with your brother or with your sister. For the Bible says in the book of Psalms, 133, verse 1. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard into the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on Mount Zion. And there the Lord pronounces his blessing, even life everlasting. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Whatever axe you've got to drop, drop it and get it right with your siblings. And God says, I'll honor that with a blessing that no man can compare to. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. But if my brother would have said, oh, he does, Matt Ward, he's just my brother. If I would have said, oh, what about my reputation? I don't care about that. Then I would not have been able to reach who I could reach, and he would not have been able to reach who he's now reaching. How many are ready for God to do something that no man can explain? The pronounced blessing. It's the work of Christ in us. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, then all you have to go by are natural resources and natural philosophies to try to mend what's been broken. And regardless of the reason, I'm telling you here today, Mark chapter 10, I don't know if you can go back to that scripture back there. I don't know if you can, it's all the way back to the beginning. But I love this scripture. To me, it's a scripture of prophetic promise. And it says this in Mark chapter 10, verse 30. You will now receive, verse 30, will now receive in return 100 times as many brothers and sisters. Look at that. Come here, Dennis. Quick. It's wet up here, so be careful. Say we're brothers. The same hairline. You're ahead of me. Ready? It's like a, take 4 steps forward. If we get separated, if one of us meets Jesus, whoever meets Jesus needs to be the first one to turn around and go to them. Whoever meets Jesus, the onus is on them. So if I meet Jesus first, it's on me. If I go to the altar and I know I have an offense with a brother, take your offering back home with you. And then make it right with your brother as much as you can. What if they don't want to make it right? Then you've done your part. In the eyes of God, you've done everything you can. But how many know there's a Bible promise for those who can restore a fallen brother? Look, this scripture would definitely apply to all church family. I mean, we should be doing this automatically. But it takes a little more faith to do it with family. But if I'm the believer, it's up to me to go back and restore my brother. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heavenly Father, by your Spirit's anointing and touch today, I thank you today that what the enemy wanted to do is not going to happen. For God, we're moving away from sibling rivalry, and we're moving into sibling unity. In Jesus' name. Would you please stand with me? Nobody leaving, if you would. I have a challenge for you. Are you ready? How many would receive that heavenly blessing once you got into unity? How many would like to have that? I mean, that wouldn't hurt you a bit. I'm going to challenge you. Are y'all okay? I kind of hate ending so quiet because y'all kind of looking at me because you're thinking. I understand. But I have a challenge for you this week. Raise your hand if you've got a sibling. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Leave it up there. Wow. Okay. You can put it down. Man, that's a lot of siblings right there. A lot of siblings. How many of you have a sibling that's not serving the Lord? Just raise your hand. Oh, you see that? You see that? Put your hand up. Now I know why this may be a bit of sobriety on your behalf right now by the end of the message. It's like, you kind of been living with it, but now it's like, wow. Mark chapter 10. If you follow Christ, God says, you know what? I'll restore 100-fold. You know, it seems to me like a brother or a sister would be the best way to win somebody to Christ, because they carry a brotherly love, a sister love. Just raise your hand if you've got an unsaved sibling. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for them right now. In fact, every person with an unsaved sibling, would you come and stand across this altar real quick? Real quick. I won't keep you forever. Just come on real quick. But it'll be worth it. I tell you, if you come to this altar in place of your sibling, we haven't prayed for unsaved family for a while, but today's the day. Amen. And I'm going to give you some cues, some directions in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come right up close. There'll be quite a bit of a crowd coming in, so you need to step up close. Praise God. Hello, how are you? What's your name?
Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
What's your last name?
Paula.
Hi. Oh, it's good to meet you finally. Hello. Praise God. They're coming. They're coming. Got an unsaved sibling. This is awesome. This is awesome. I have never preached on brothers and sisters before like that. Now I know why God wants it. Beautiful. This is beautiful. This is powerful. You know, I think of Paul. Was it your brother that was in the military that passed away? Was that right? He was serving when he passed away, right? What was his name? I forget. Dan? Paul invited his brother Dan to church. And Dan's in the military, and I gave an altar call, and Dan gave his life to Christ. But while serving our country, his life came to an end. And Paul will see his brother Dan in heaven, because God used Paul to reach his brother Dan. Amen. I believe that becomes your story. Your sibling, whoever he or she is, will be in heaven because of your witness, because of your testimony. Would you stretch a hand towards these precious brothers and sisters of yours? And would you lift a hand to heaven? And we thank you now in the name of Jesus for salvation for these homes. God, there may be brothers and sisters who are deep in sin. Life is stuck, trapped, in prison. They're being choked by the grip of sin. But we thank you today in the name of Jesus Christ that the grip of sin, the grip of bondage, the grip of anger, the grip of any kind of deceit or occultism is broken in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you now, no weapon formed against them will prosper. I thank you now that every plan to keep them bound in hell sent is broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray where there was emptiness or distance or anger or misunderstanding or partiality or maybe divorce and separation, whatever it is, I pray now in the name of Jesus that there'll become a restoration, a healing. Come on now, somebody. A healing, a power of your spirit to draw them back. Oh God, we intercede for our family like nobody can. We pray, God, that you would begin to draw us closer to them. I ask this week that doors begin to open, phone calls begin made, coffee is shared, meals are taken care of together, a visit, a moment of time, a memory, a recollection, something comes together so that God, we begin to see brothers and sisters at an altar receiving your precious salvation, Father. God, we pray, Lord, they're connected to us. That means they're in your eyesight. And God, we believe that there are those like Simon who'd bring their brother. Andrew, I should say. Andrew brought his brother to you. Lord, let the spirit of Andrew fall upon every man, upon every woman, that we have a special anointing that we might bring our own family members to you. And we give you thanks right now because in advance we know that that's a prayer you want to answer in Jesus' name. You ought to give God praise. You ought to give God thanks. You ought to give God glory. Come on, everybody. Everybody, begin to thank God for saved people. Praise God. So this is going to be my challenge to everybody down here, but everybody back there and everybody up there. Wow, not very many single children in this church. Like, that's wonderful. But I'm going to ask you to make a commitment before God. I'm not trying to be manipulative. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment before God. That this week, after much prayer, guidance by the Holy Spirit, you are going to call your sibling. Do not text them. Okay? Don't text them. Okay? No emojis. No emojis. Call them. Pick up the phone and call. And say whatever God tells you to say. Tell them, look, I love you. Let's get together. Let's have coffee. Soda. Meals on me. Right? I'm just kind of waiting on the Lord. Maybe you're just going to show up and give them a gift. You say, people say, well, you know, you can't buy love. That's a good excuse not to give a gift. But how many know gift giving is something? God gives gifts to men. Bring your sibling a gift. Look at me. Trust me. As a 47-year-old man, and I know that sounds terrible and like a punch in the gut, but I'm going to tell you, if I had a brother on this earth, I'd do it. Life is way too short. You say, well, you don't know what they took from me. Well, is God your restorer or are they? That was rough. That was ugly. But it's true. Well, you know, you don't know what they took from me. Is God your restorer or are they? And if God is your restorer, if you do it right, God will make sure you're taken care of. Give them a gift. Give them a $5 thing to wherever. Coffee. That seems like a cheap gift. $5 gets you one coffee. Get them a $5 gift card to Irving Truck Stop. That'll give you 2.5 cups of coffee right there. Huh? Mountain Green, whatever that is, all right? With nobody else moving, would you do this? And so, how many of you have siblings that live out of the state? They don't live in this state. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're not making a visit. But you got to make a phone call. Again, I don't ever pick out Paul so much because, well, I just don't. I'm usually picking on my father-in-law, not my brother-in-law. But saying goodbye to two of his siblings and one in the past 24 hours that lives out of state, Texas. Won't the love of God flow through us this week with an urgency? Come on, don't you want the love of God to flow? Some of you, the worst thing is not having a brother who lives out of state, it's having a brother who lives next door. Well, that sounded really bad, but what I meant is you have somebody right next door and you get used to them. Some of you go to church with your siblings. You're just used to them. Don't get used to them. Make sure that everything's all right in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, then these promises don't belong to you yet. They're there, but they belong to people who've made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. Have a part of the family of God means that you admit, look, I'm a sinner. I'm a born sinner. That's what the Bible says. Number two, you got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, all of them. And number third, you got to confess him publicly. That's what the Bible says. If any man confess with his mouth and believe with his heart, he shall be saved. The wonderful word that the Bible uses is adopted. Isn't that beautiful? We're adopted into the family. We're brought into the family. You got a whole lot of brothers and sisters, and they're not perfect, but we're getting better every day. And if you're here today without anybody moving, whether you're in the altar, in the seats, or in the balcony, and you say, I don't have a relationship with Christ, or I've drifted far from him, you just slip your hand up nice and high and say, I want to pray that prayer today with you when you pray it. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want to know that heaven's in my future, not hell. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know my past is redeemed. I want to know that all things are right between me and my Creator. If that's you, slip your hand up nice and high. Don't delay. Don't delay. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Don't be fearful. I know this is a different type of message, but I feel like it's the Holy Spirit's will that I always give that opportunity. Hello, young lady. Can I pray with you? Oh, you're... Hello to you, too. I'm so proud of you. Can I pray with you, dear? What's your name? Kenzie?
Mackenzie.
Where are you from?
Dover, Foxborough.
From Dover. I'm so glad that you... Who'd you come with? Your boyfriend and his family. I'm so glad for your boyfriend and his family. I'm glad you're here today. Do you go to Foxcroft Academy?
No.
You don't? Okay.
Go to school in Fort Kent.
You go to school in Fort Kent? Wow. That's way up there.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for making the trip down. Maybe the Lord brought you all the way from Fort Kent to just get a hold of your life and give you a brand new beginning. That's awesome. Mackenzie, I'm going to pray with you. I want my wife to come. Oh, is somebody else? Does somebody else raise their hand? Can I pray with you, Amanda? All right. Thank God. Thank God. Can I sit down for a minute? Would that be rude? I hope it's not rude. I want to pray for you today. Where are you from, Amanda?
Bangor.
You're from Bangor. I'm so glad you're here today. This isn't your first time, is it? I didn't think so. Well, Jesus is here, but he's not only got you in mind, and he loves you very much, but your siblings, he cares a lot about. And I don't know that it's a coincidence I preached on this and you're here today. Is that right? Yeah, it is. Is there something going on with a sibling? Is there something going on with your sibling? Wow. Isn't that neat? I've never preached that before, but you know, God really does care about your siblings. And he's found that you have a heart that's open. And that's all he's looking for, is he's looking for an opening. And once he gets in that opening, he can start, it's like a ripple effect. Isn't that awesome? So you're not just making a decision for you, you're making a decision for your whole family. That's so good. Thank God. My wife is right here. She's going to pray with you too. But let's pray this prayer together. Mackenzie and Amanda, let's pray together. All the way, let them hear it from the balcony, all right? We're about to have some new brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. You brought me here today, this special day, to speak to me individually. I came in here distant from you. I need to be adopted. I came in a spiritual orphan, but I'm walking out a daughter of God. Please forgive me for all my sins. I invite you into my life today and forever. My past is washed away. And today, I get a brand new beginning. I get to serve you the rest of my life. Now help my siblings. They're on my heart today. What you're doing for me, I want you to do for them. So please use me, my words, my prayer, my testimony, to encourage them to let you work in their lives as well. Today is just the beginning of bigger miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. We ought to rejoice and thank God so much. Praise God. That's awesome. Bless you. Thank you for letting us pray with you. Thank you so much. This is important.